Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
I want to ask you ladies a question. This can be guys too, I guess. Here's my question to you is, ladies, do you have any diamond jewelry? Has anybody ever given you a diamond ring or maybe a diamond necklace or diamond earrings, you know? I remember back in the day, wow, this is probably, I'm thinking, how long ago has this been? Probably close to 20, maybe 24 years ago. We just had our 23rd wedding anniversary, so probably about 24, maybe 25 years ago. I remember being in college and, you know, having a diamond ring is something precious. And I was like, I was getting ready to ask Bethany to marry me. We were getting to the point where I knew I wanted to spend time, my life with Bethany, but I remember spending months saving up money so I could get her a really, really nice diamond ring when I asked her to marry me. And this is the ring right here. I have it with me. I don't know if you can see this or not, but this is it right here. I don't know. Can I zoom in there like that? I don't know if you can see it or not. Not that it matters, but for us, it has a nice big old diamond. A medium sized diamond in it. It was big to me. I got this diamond ring for Bethany, and I gave this to her when I asked her to marry me. And a lot of times, these diamond rings are a diamond. When we're given a diamond, there's like a deep sense of preciousness behind it, a deep sense of value that comes with this jewel called a diamond, right? And it means a lot to us to have something like this, and the meaning behind it, the love and the value that it represents, right? And that's kind of an interesting thing. And I was thinking about this, and I remember, you know, we've had this for close to, you know, over 20 years now, close to 25 years now. And I remember thinking, man, what if somebody came to me and says, hey, I can check that for you. And they check it and they're like, you know, this diamond is not real. It's a fake. It's cubic zirconium. I would be like kind of mad. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I spent all that time, all that work saving up for months and months, and this guy sold me a fake diamond. Oh, I'm going to kill him. You know, that kind of thing. And forgiveness and love, of course. It's kind of like that, right? I remember I watched this video on YouTube. I don't know if it's still up or not, but there's this guy who goes around town and he has this little diamond tester. And so he asks people like, hey, can I check to see if your diamond is real or not? And it's interesting the reactions you get from people. I mean, if somebody asked me, like, can I check to see if you're, you know, not that I have any diamonds, but if I did and they were like checking it, man, can you imagine that? Like that brief moment of like suspense, this better be real, you know, that kind of aspect. Right. And then like when he checks it and is like, oh yeah, this is real. This is the real thing. And you're like, oh, I knew it was, you know, but you didn't really know for sure, but you were hoping it was real. Right. And then you got that confidence back. You know, I was like, yeah, I knew it was real, you know, that kind of thing. And then there's some people who find out that their diamond's not real. And then there's two different ways. If they knew it wasn't real in the first place, it's kind of like that awkward moment of like, you know, that embarrassment. But if they didn't know it was real, then there's that shock and that, I don't know what to say, that like that frustration, that anger kind of pops out, right? And then there's some people who are like, you know what? I don't even care. I don't want to know if it's real or not. I'm just happy to believe it's real. Don't tell me whether it's real or not. I don't care. You know, I'm just happy to think it's real. And so there's like all these different kinds of reactions that I saw through people and how they reacted to finding out whether their diamond was real or whether it was fake. And there are some things that are much more valuable and much more important to know if it's real or if it's fake. And probably you figured it out if you've watched the sermon graphic for today. And it's going to be the thought about our faith as Christians. Is my faith real or is it fake? How do we find genuine Christianity? How do I see my faith? Is it a genuine faith in Jesus, or is it a counterfeit? Is it a fake faith? And sometimes it's hard to see from the outside. Some from a distance, it may be hard to tell the difference. And so it's important for us to be able to look in and see what makes a faith a real faith. What makes a faith a fake faith? And this is kind of what we're going to look at. And Paul is going to help us by revealing real faith and fake faith through a certain group of people. And we're going to look at that today. Philippians chapter 3 is where we are going to look at. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. Philippians chapter 3 and Philippians chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3. It says this. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. In these two verses are some amazing things that are packed into what we are about to learn. Let me take just a few minutes to ask Jesus to help us as you listen and as I share what I've learned through this passage, and ask him to guide our thoughts and our heart to be receptive to what Jesus says, and that I can speak clearly and simply so that we can understand what this passage is talking about. All right, let's pray real quick. Jesus, we come to you knowing that you are the author of what we are about to talk about. And I pray that you would help me to be able to explain what you were teaching in this passage so that we can get it, so that we can understand it. And more importantly, not just that it's head knowledge, but that it becomes a heart change. Help us to be able to understand it and recognize it, but also help us to be able to live this out, to make sure that this is what we are believing in as we trust in you. And as we rest in you and as we hope in you and find joy in you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's an interesting question. Understanding the theme of what we're going to be looking at, is your faith real or is it fake? What in the world does this passage have to do with that theme? And here's an interesting thing. This is where background info comes in handy, right? What in the world does dogs, evil workers, and concision have to do with real faith or fake faith, right? This is what we're going to look at. In this background info, Paul is actually talking about a very specific group of people. They were a group of people who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They recognized Jesus as being the Messiah, but while they may have believed in Jesus, they believed in something else much more than they believed in Jesus. They are what Paul calls Judaizers. And what they believed is that, yes, while Jesus may be the Messiah and while you may put your faith in him, really and truly, to be truly accepted by God, you must become a Jew. Because that is ultimately what helps you to be accepted by God. Yes, trust in Jesus, believe in Jesus. He's the Messiah, you know, yada, yada, yada. But make sure you're a Jew, because that's what's really going to help you. And that's kind of what their main emphasis was. So they would go to all of the churches that Paul had started, like kind of after the churches have been settled in and after the churches are growing and going well, Judaizers would come in. They were even in the church in Jerusalem, and they would go to and Paul talked about them in the church in Galatia, and now he's talking about them in the church in Philippians. So you see them in these different churches, popping in, popping out. And so Paul is again warning the Philippian church family of the Judaizers and what they believe, and kind of revealing their teachings and showing the Philippian believers what to look out for. This is real faith. This is fake faith. Recognize the difference. In this passage, he does an interesting thing, is he flips what they boast on to their shame. He says, this is what these guys are proud of, but it's actually the way you can tell it's a fake faith. And this is what we're going to look at. So let's look at these three things real quick. We're going to look at two things, actually. How does Paul warn the believers about fake faith? How do we know that their faith is fake? And secondly, how can we see what genuine Christianity looks like? How do we know what the real thing looks like? So we're going to look at the three ways that Paul contrasts the difference between real faith and their fake faith. We can use the things that Paul identifies the Judaizers as fake faith into our lives to make sure that what we're believing in is really true, genuine Christian faith. Faith that will stand the test of time. Faith that will give us that solid rock to stand on when we face our Creator one day. So what are the three marks of fake Christianity? Let's look at the three marks of fake Christianity, which we can find in verse 2. Verse 2 is a really interesting. Man, he just kind of rips on him a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Verse 2, he says this: beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. So he describes the Judaizers in three specific ways: dogs, evil workers, and the concision. It's really interesting the wording Paul uses here. He's using the things that they are proud of, like I just said earlier, and change and kind of reveals the fakeness of it and uses their boastings into their shame, is essentially what he does. So let's look at the three things: dogs, evil workers, and concision. Let's look at dogs first. When Paul calls these people dogs, he's not talking about your pet puppy, cute and cuddly and, you know, loves you to death, even no matter what happens. He's in the Bible days, dogs were not kept as pets. They were basically scavengers. They would come around and they would sneak around and try to find whatever thing they could eat. They would like run around the town and find like whatever nasty garbage or dead animals or whatever nasty thing that you would throw away. They would come and grab it and eat it. They were basically like nasty scavenger animals. And so to the Jew, a dog was a very perfect picture of a person who wasn't a Jew, a Gentile. In this context, just as dogs ate whatever they wanted to, they never ate anything good or clean, so a Gentile would eat things that a Jew would consider unclean. They would be eating things, or they wouldn't be obeying the cleanliness laws of the Jew. And so for a Jew, a non-Jew was looked on as an unclean person or a person who was outside of God's blessing. They weren't like the Jews. These Gentiles weren't like the Jews who saw themselves as a chosen people. Like, we're the chosen ones, you know. We're the special receivers of God's blessings. And so they saw those are outside of that Jewness as Gentiles, the uncleans. And it was a common phrase used back then, as anybody who was not a Jew was a dog. It was a pretty common thing to say. And so Paul uses that wording against the Judaizers. He says, no. Watch out for these guys. They're the dogs. They're the ones who are outside of God's blessings. They are the ones who are unclean. If you think that being a Jew was what makes you receive God's blessings, Paul was looking at the faith, their diamond, and saying, no. I'm looking at this diamond and it's a fake. It's not the real thing. It's a fake diamond. It's not genuine. And that's basically what Paul is talking about here. He's saying what they believe in keeping the commands of Jews and in obeying the dietary laws and in following the rituals and the customs of Jewishness is not what makes you accepted by God. It's a fake faith. Second thing is this. He says, evil workers, verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. This is an interesting thing because he flips it again. Jews often saw themselves as those who keep the works of the law. You often, you know, sometimes you see in scripture passages where like a really devout Jew talks about how he kept the works of the law, how he kept the works of righteousness, even from the time he was a child. I remember the guy, the leader, of the religious ruler who said, Jesus, what do I need to do to be saved? And he was like, And Jesus told him what to do, you know, and he's like, oh, I've done all that. From the time I was a kid, I've done those things, you know. Jews love the Jewish people in the Bible love the fact that they obeyed the Jewish laws. They considered the works of the law part of their works of righteousness. So they see obeying the law, they see keeping the law as the means of doing the works of righteousness, right? It was what they pointed to for being accepted by God. And Ben's going to talk a little bit more about this next week in our passage. It's really interesting what he's going to tell us. And the Judaizers would say, yes, trusting Jesus is important, but you really need to make sure that you're following the works of the law. You're obeying the law in order to be fully accepted by God. Trusting Jesus is good, but it's not enough. You need to obey the law. You need to trust the law because that's what's really going to get you accepted by God. Paul looks at it and says, no, it's fake. He sees the inside of it and says, no, this is not real faith. It is a faith, fake faith. In fact, he flips it and he says, you know what? You who believe that you are doing the good, being righteous by obeying the law, it's actually evil works because it's not done in the way that God expects you to. It's not done out of a trusting heart. It is done as a means of being accepted by God based on your works. And Jesus says, it doesn't matter how hard you try, it's never going to be enough to be accepted by God. It's counterfeit. It's not the real thing. It's fake. And so again, I don't know why I keep pointing to the ring as fake. The diamond's real, trust me. At least I hope it is. But anyways, it's a fake faith. And the last thing is the word concision. And this is interesting, right? The concision. The concision is a very interesting way in which Paul describes a very fundamental aspect of being a Jew. For the Jew, circumcision was the identity of being a Jew. You know, it was basically what they were proud of more than anything. They often, the Jewish leaders often describe themselves, hey, we that are of the circumcision. In the context of, they pointed to this ritual as the gateway to receive God's blessings in their life, right? We are the true people of God. We are the circumcision, right? And the Judaizers would convince the Gentiles that they needed to be circumcised in order to fully receive, to open up the gateway of God's blessings on them by being an official, authentic Jew. Jesus wasn't enough. You had to become a Jew. You had to obey the dietary laws. You had to obey the laws of Moses, be the workers of the law. But also you had to follow the ritual, the circumcision ritual, in order to fully authenticate yourself as a Jew. The word Paul uses, though, isn't circumcision. He uses the word concision, which is kind of a play on words. If circumcision was meant to be a good thing, concision was meant to be a bad thing. It's basically like mutilating your flesh. Kind of like, you remember how in the 1 Kings, I think it was 18, the prophets of Baal and Elijah, I think it was Elijah. Was it Elijah or Elisha? I can never get Elijah, I think, right? Wasn't it? Elijah and the prophets of Baal were having a contest about who was the real God. And the prophets of Baal had this altar with a cow on it. And they were like waiting for fire to come down. And in the process, they started like cutting themselves and slicing themselves and just like mutilating their bodies in hopes that God would answer their prayers. And that mutilation, that self-mutilation, was the term concision that Paul is referring to. And somebody who mutilates themselves in that way is basically like shunned from the temple. You can't get into the temple of Jerusalem. You're like banned from it. And this is essentially what Paul is saying. It's not your circumcision. Your circumcision in God's eyes without Jesus is like concision. It's like mutilating yourself. There's no reason for you to be able to be even in the temple. You're looking at your faith and it's not a real faith. It's a fake faith. And this is what Paul is describing. You pride yourself in this ritual of circumcision, assuming that that's what makes you accepted by God. but it is no different than mutilating yourselves, because it is not true faith. See, the Philippian Christians aren't the only ones that need to recognize what true faith and what fake faith is. We need to understand the difference. We need to be able to discern the difference, to be able to tell the difference between what's real and genuine faith and what's fake faith. So how do we do that? How do we, in our own lives, recognize what is genuine faith? What is real faith? And how do I tell that apart from fake faith? Well, let's look at verse 3, because verse 3 is going to help us. Paul says, "For we are the circumcision." Let me stop there for a second, because I think it's important to understand what he's saying. Paul is taking the very thing that the Judaizers wanted the Philippians to be and say, no, 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 we are already what you want us to be. We are already what you describe as the circumcision, the true believers of Jesus. We are already authentic believers. He says, we are the circumcision. And it's interesting, if you look at Romans 2:28, he kind of describes this, because he's saying, listen, the real circumcision isn't an external ritual, isn't an external obedience to the law, isn't an external following of dietary laws. It's something that happens on the inside, not the outside. Look at what he says in Romans 2:28-29. He says this, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh." Verse 29 says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly." And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Paul is clearly identifying the difference between one who is truly accepted by God and one who is accepted by God per se on an external level. The difference is not on the outside, it's on the inside. And this is what Paul is pointing to in our passage in Philippians 3:3. He says, Philippians 3:3, "For we are the circumcision." And he gives us three ways that we can tell whether our faith is real or fake. Three identifiers, three marks of real faith. First is this: "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit." There's the first one. We'll look at it a little bit more. And secondly, "We are the circumcision." We are the real believers who rejoice in Christ Jesus. There's the second one. And the third one is, "We are the circumcision who have no confidence in the flesh." Those three things, let's look at them a little bit deeper so we can really understand what Paul is talking about here. What does it look like for somebody to have real faith? What are three areas that are different, three areas that have been changed in my life that identify me as having a genuine, a real faith? The first way is to look for a heart change. To look for a heart change. You see, when we put our faith fully and completely and only in Jesus, something amazing happens. This is so cool. Think about what happens when you trust in Jesus. One, Jesus creates in you a new heart, right? And then He brings the Holy Spirit into that heart to be able to start changing it and to mold it into his own heart, into himself. In this context, he helps us to see more fully who God is, more fully who our Creator is, especially in the context of the new relationship that he has created in us because of that new heart. The relationship between us and God is now a relationship between father and son, father and daughter. Think about that. So Jesus creates in us a new heart. He gives the Holy Spirit in us to change us and mold us so that we more fully understand and more fully appreciate this new relationship that we have because of what Jesus has done to us, which is the relationship that we have with God, the creator of all things, being our dad. That's an amazing thought. This is amazing because a genuine believer recognizes that it is an inward heart change that gives us the special relationship with God, not an external change like becoming a Jew, like the Judaizers were trying to get the Philippian church to do, like they were boasting in. And so this isn't anything that, and this is important, it's not anything that we can produce in ourselves. The Judaizers constantly pointed to, hey, do this, do that, do this, do that. Paul is saying, no, it's not anything you do, it's something that happens to you through faith in Jesus. It can only be done by Jesus through his Spirit in us. When that happens, when that heart change happens, that is when we can worship and praise our Heavenly Father the way we were meant to worship him in spirit. That is what is real faith and not fake faith. First, we worship God in spirit. You get to worship God the way God meant you to worship him in the first place, which is a father-son relationship, a very special, dear relationship. And that happens through faith in Jesus. Jesus is the one who changes our hearts. First is a heart change. That's what you look for. The second thing you look for is a righteousness change. What do I mean by that? Take a look again at verse 3. It says, verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, talking about that heart change, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. When you recognize that you, in yourself, are unable to produce the kind of righteousness that makes you worthy of being accepted by God. I forgot to tell you this. The really interesting thing about this is how Paul connects what he ripped on with the Judaizers. Like, you are dogs, you are workers of iniquity, evil workers, and you are the concision, right? He describes those three ways that you can see false faith, and then he parallels them to what is real faith. Like, you are dogs, you are not. You are the outside, but those who are on the inside, those who have put their faith in Jesus, Jesus is the one who brings us into the relationship of God through a family relationship, not just through a people group, but an actual family relationship, right? And then here he was talking about the workers of evil, right? The evil workers, and says, no, here's a real righteous working, is the righteous working of Jesus in our lives. He says the real change happens when you take on not your own righteousness, not by doing works of righteousness, but when you're trusting in the only one whose righteousness is worthy of being accepted by God. He says, when you turn away from your own righteousness and you turn fully onto Jesus's righteousness, it is his righteousness that makes us have joy and knowing that not only are we accepted by God, but deeply loved and cherished by God. This is amazing. We boast in Jesus. We rejoice in Jesus, not because we are holding on to him, but because he is holding on to us. His righteousness is what gives us joy in being accepted by God. His righteousness gives us joy to know that no matter what happens, God loves me. The creator of all things loves me. That's an amazing thing to think about if you think about it. Genuine Christianity, a real diamond, is seen in a person who is fully satisfied in being in Jesus. He has joy in Jesus because he knows that Jesus' righteousness is enough for him to be accepted and to be loved by God. The third point. Back to verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. This one is really interesting because the first two were like things that we can look to as having, right? This is one where he kind of flips it around and saying, you know a true believer if he doesn't have this, right? a true believer has this and this, but he will not have this. And it's kind of the flip side of that righteousness in Jesus that we just talked about. And this one is a change in confidence, a change in confidence. And this is what we're talking about. It's talking about the righteousness of Jesus, but looking at it from a different angle. A genuine Christian puts his full confidence in Jesus, but it also means that he puts no confidence in anything outside of Jesus. And this is important. All of my confidence in who I am as a believer in Christ, as one who is accepted by my Heavenly Father, comes from Jesus and only Jesus. Anything outside of that, I put no confidence in. Nothing I do can make me be more loved by God than I already am in Jesus. That's so amazing. There's no ritual, there is no ceremony, there's no sacrament, there is no good deed, there is no sacrifice, there is nothing I can do to point to for why I am accepted by God. Ben's going to remind us that if there's anybody that had any right to say this, it is Paul. I am so looking forward to hearing how Ben's going to describe all of this next week. But think about this. Nothing I can do can make me more loved and accepted by God than simply my trust and my faith in Jesus. It's it. It's all I need. And in that simple, pure faith in Jesus, I find all that I need. How can I tell if my faith is genuine? How can I tell if it's real or if it's fake? And the question is, am I looking at anything outside of Jesus to be accepted by my Heavenly Father? It's an important thing to think about, isn't it? How about you in your daily life? Do we say things like from a mind perspective, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but then kind of revert to Judaizer Christianity in the context of, I believe in Jesus, but you better make sure, I better make sure to do this, 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 or else I'm going to be not accepted by God. There's a danger in that. And the danger is you're starting to lean towards a false Christianity. One day, you and I for sure will be, we will all be standing before the Creator of all things. And if he asks me, what are you standing on? What are you trusting in to be able to spend eternity with me in heaven forever? The only thing I can point to is Jesus, because he is who makes me worthy. And pointing to him will be enough. That's the cool thing. By his grace, I will have been found to be genuine, the real thing. My faith will have been real. And the question is, one day you too will stand before the Creator of all things. And if he asks you the same question, what makes you worthy of spending eternity with me in heaven forever? What will you point to? God, I've sacrificed for you. I've done so much for you. I've done this. I've done this. I read my Bible every day, 3 chapters a day. I read my Bible through 20 times. I've given to the church. I've sacrificed. I've done without. Don't you see this, God? None of those things are the reason we will be accepted by the Creator of all things. The only thing is Jesus. It's all we need. He is fully sufficient. His righteousness is fully worthy of us being accepted by God. He is the one who changes our hearts. He is the one who changes our righteousness. And he is the one who changes our confidence, not in our own selves, but in him. And that's enough. The question is, if somebody looks at your faith, They peer into it, not the external aspects. Oh, it's shiny. Oh, it must be real. No, they peer into your soul and look on the inside and say, no, this is real, or this is fake, or this is real. Which one will they say? Where is your faith resting on? I hope it's in Jesus. If it's not, change it. Put your trust in Jesus today. Let him change you from the inside, not from the out, not trying to change yourself from the outside, because the outside is just a covering. It doesn't reveal what's the true you and your faith. So put your faith in Jesus and let him change you from the inside, changing your heart, changing your righteousness, and ultimately changing your confidence, not in yourself, but in him, so that you too will have joy in Jesus, and it'll be enough. It'll fully satisfy you, and I hope that does for you too.